Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to A Word with Tom Merritt. That's me, Tom Merritt. This is the show where I get to sit down with some of the smartest, most interesting people in the world and talk about how we think, compare our shortcuts for getting through life. We all know different things about different things, and it's good when we share that with each other. These are the kinds of conversations I've been having all my life with my grandpa Carl in his front room, my grandma Roxy in her front room. I got lots of different ways of looking at the world from them, and great conversations. And it was all leading me to this moment right now. Welcome back to the front room, Lamar Wilson.
It is great to be here. I'm back. Almost a year, right? It has been almost a year to win this.
I was wondering about like exactly how long. But yeah, you are our first return visitor more than a year. It was May 2022.
Was it? Okay. Wow.
Well, it was May when we recorded, and then I think it was released in July. So even the release date was more. It's been too long, is what I'm saying.
It has been too long. But I love this podcast. I've listened to so many different people talk about their word, and I'm glad that I'm able to come back to talk about another word today.
Yeah. So our first word when Lamar was on before was influencer, and we talked about his current career. So this time we wanted to talk about career and talk about how you got to your career now and what career has meant through your life, how you view it, specifically changing your career. Like you've had multiple careers, right?
I have indeed. Multiple, many, lots.
So you used to be, and I know this isn't even the first career, I guess, depending on what would you call your first career?
First career, I'll call my retail stage. That's the high school, you know, work at the grocery store, but then hate that after a month, and then and then go to the job I actually loved, which was working at Best Buy. That's kind of what started this. But if I had to go even before that of not getting paid, I would even go further back to my high school. What do you call the computer lab? You know those days. I pretty much worked the computer lab for you know, obviously no money, but just trying to figure out what this technology thing is, and that motivated me to like want to work at a store, and then we move on from there. So yeah, it's a very early starts in technology. Yeah.
So you've got a career in tech and retail. We'll get to a later career in education, and then your current career, which is content creation. But let's go chronological. Like,
okay,
talk a little more about the tech and the retail, and tell us a little bit about how you got attracted to tech in the first place. And then we'll talk a little bit about how that moved you into a career, as far as like not wanting to stock Blackberries at the grocery store, but rather stock Blackberries at the Best Buy. Two different kinds of Blackberries.
There you go.
So how did you end up in that computer lab? Right. Cause like you said, I think you and I, we're like, oh yeah, computer lab makes sense. A lot of people in our audience might think that, but what led you there? Cause not everybody ends up there.
Yeah, so I actually started, this was around, you know, my high school career was 91 to 95. So just kind of give you, 1991, just so you be clear. I started in the computer, actually in the library, They had a few computers there, but became the school's editor of their newspaper. So
you were interested in content creation.
I was interested in content creation. Yeah. Okay. I actually met with someone, I forgot his name, but a guy came from the Chicago Tribune to our school.
Oh, wow.
Cool. And I got to meet him, and he was a journalist, and I was like, oh man, I would love to do this. He was a black guy, kind of very inspirational, because I was at a school, you know, that kind of tailored to that. So yeah, that's kind of where I started, you know, typing on, I don't know what, Windows 3.0 maybe.
Sure.
3.1, something like that. And making articles and just getting a love for tech. Obviously there was no tech in the home. You know, mm-hmm. At best we had a corded phone and a color TV, and that, you know, those, you know,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
Those are part of the basics. So, you know, I didn't have a tech background from that. But I do remember my aunt had like a very early version of the Atari 2600. So you remember. So if you want to really go back to tech times, you go back to when I was very young, 4 or 5 years old, playing, you know, figuring out Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. I mean, we can go way back, Tom.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this is one of the reasons you and I bond so much, is we have that similar history of having technology and content creation in our DNA from an early age. So you wanted to write, you wanted to like get your words in front of people. And then you found that the way you were doing that was this computer. Then take us from there. Like, how did that turn into like, well, maybe I want to learn more about these computer things.
Yeah. So, I was an editor of school newspaper. Then I did like the sports column, which was interesting. So I got to travel with the basketball team and they were doing all that. It's hard to remember a specific transition. I do remember in my senior year, I was burned out from having like all these honor classes before. By my senior year, I was 16. My birthday's in October. So, you know, I was literally started at 16 years old and a senior year, and I was just burned out. I had enough credits to graduate, but they wouldn't let me.
You're way ahead of the game, but they're like, well, you're not 18. We're not letting you graduate.
Yeah. So I talked to my mom and I was like, look, I'm burned out. I said, they have this work study program. And I was like, this would be great for me. I said, I can get a job. I could be in school. I would leave school at 10:30
in the morning,
get there in the morning, and you know, go home, rest, and go to work. I was like, this is kind of what I need right now. And she was very gung-ho about it, like, because she gave me the freedom to like choose idea. My career counselor didn't like that, but I was like, I have all my credits. Come on, give me a break. So we had a marketing class, and although I don't think the marketing teacher was very good, I devoured the marketing book. I this was my first entry into what marketing was and sales. And I just loved the idea of working with people, but also teaching myself at the same time. Cause I had already done things like this in the school. I was teaching kids around junior year how to, you know, do the, what's it called? The pre-ACTs or pre-SAT.
Software. The pre-SAT, PSATs,
yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, I was in charge of that because no one knew how to do it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like the teacher for that, you know, using air quotes, even though we did have a actual computer teacher. He let me kind of be in charge of things like that. So senior year, I remember my first job is at a grocery store. If you're from Chicago, it's called Jewel mm-hmm. Osco. And I was just, you know, a bagger and cart getter, and I hated it. And there was a Best Buy that was about a mile away, and I knew about it, and I've seen commercials. I'm like, I want to work there. And I remember going one time. I was like, oh my God, this place is beautiful. It's just bright, and I saw computers, and I saw TVs, and all these CDs, and I just like, yeah, this is my place. So I went. This is actually a really good story. So I went there 1 week. I put an application in and I said, hey, is there, you know, you all have any positions open? And the hiring manager, I forgot his name, but he was like, no, there's no position. Sorry. I'm like, okay. So the next Thursday, because I happen to be off on Thursdays, next Thursday, I go back to the store. So like, hey, Lamar here again, looking forward, you know, jobs. And same guy was like, yeah, I told you last week. Yeah, we don't have any positions. So I looked around the store, hung out, then left. Third week, hey, I'm back here again. And now he's like, he's a little bit more irritated. He's like, dude, I told you, I don't have any positions for you. There's nothing you can, you know, like, he didn't say leave me alone, but he was very close.
He's like, my answer isn't changing. Yeah.
Yeah. Week four, he sees me walk in the door. Because I was not giving up.
Yeah.
And I saw him give the biggest sigh behind the customer service desk. He was just like, oh, this guy again. I come up and I was like, happy, happy cheer. Hey, it's Lamar. Looking, you know, he's like, look, man, you've been coming here for 4 weeks and I've been telling you the same thing. And I was like, I know, but I really want to work here. And he just stared me down for like 20 seconds, like the longest seconds of my life. And then he looked at me and he's like, get over here and do an interview.
You wore him down.
I wore him down. Not only did I get the job, but he put me on the sales floor immediately.
And he didn't have a job, but he gave you a job.
He gave me a job.
So he's saying, like, we don't have any jobs, but you forced him to be like, fine, I'll make one for you. That's amazing.
I knew I wanted to work there. So he's like, he put me on the floor that day. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm going to be late. I have a job.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that started, you know, he put me right in the computer department. That's where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And from there, yeah, we, you know, that was my road to where I am now.
So what made you be that persistent? Right. Because obviously the grocery store was the opposite effect. You didn't try hard to get a job at a grocery store because it was your dream.
What do you think it was that
made you? Because that's very un-teenager like behavior to be that persistent. Like what do you think it was that overcame that and said, no, this is special. I'm going to hammer it. I'm going to keep coming back.
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think about it often, even now. It's like, you know, when I tell people the story. And I just, Tom, I think I just knew. I knew I was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be there. I felt like my education was going to benefit from me being there. And I just, you know, once I went into that store that one time, I was like, yeah, I'm going to work here. And you know, it goes back to one of those things when you know you're going to do something, you just
die, yeah. Because you could have been happy with the computer lab. You had access to computers. It's not like you didn't have any. Like there was something else about the Best Buy, I guess.
Yeah, the Best Buy was. Now remember, this is 94, so this is even before like the explosion of computers when Windows 95 came out. But it was the beginning of it. I felt the inklings. It's hard to say I knew in a year this was going to happen, but yeah. I knew something special was happening, and so many new products were coming out, even in the TV department, even in the audio department, and I just wanted to learn about new things. I didn't have new things at home. You know, I didn't grow up with new things. So, you know, I took the manuals home. Like a new computer would come, a Compaq will bring a new computer in. I would take the manual home, read it, study it. And so when I'm, you know, on the sales floor the next day, I knew everything about the computer. That's just kind of how I was as a student. So.
You were that into it.
I was really that into it.
I'm guessing you didn't take the manual from the grocery store home.
There was no manual on how to box things. That job was a month, and I'm glad I did it. There were some skills I definitely learned.
Sure.
Even now I know how to put my groceries in properly, put the boxes on the end and fill in the middle. I know how to do all that now because they make you do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the Best Buy was the greatest start to my career and whatever that career, you know, I didn't know where that was going to go. I just knew it was important. Something told me it was vital.
Well, it's something you were into. You didn't have it at home. You had some access to it at school, but that access never changed. It was always the same row of computers every day. I could see why Best Buy would be like, when the new thing comes, it's here. And it's always, changing all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I just absorbed myself in not only the computer, like I said, the TV department, I worked in there. I wanted to learn audio. Mm-hmm. I did cashiering. I wanted to be so invaluable that, you know, like if, you know, they couldn't get rid of me, I just knew everything, mm-hmm. but it wasn't mainly because of that reason. I just loved the stuff. I loved being part of this. Again, I didn't know what was going to happen. with Windows 95 and the explosion, but I felt something was coming. I felt I see more and more people coming. I'm like, something's big is about to happen here with technology. We're going to be able to afford these things in our houses soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was already happening. People were buying them. And so it was just kind of an honor to be part of that.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now, you would think, if you didn't know Lamar's story, if I hadn't already spoiled you earlier in this episode, that he might have ended up going to become CEO of Best Buy or more likely, like, go into technology and work in products or product marketing even or something like that. But you ended up becoming a teacher. Take us on that journey. How did you go from being near the new every day to a classroom full of kids?
Yeah, I wasn't able to become an official registered teacher, but I'll explain why.
Okay.
It was weird. I moved to Seattle. I'm going to school there. My family decided when I graduated they wanted to move to Seattle, so I ended up there, and I said, great, I can go to school here.
You're taking college classes there?
Going to school, just general. I didn't really know it. Again, now at that time, I was working at Office Depot. Then this was the busiest Office Depot in the country, and I was working in a computer department. So same thing.
Yeah.
And now Windows 95 is out. And sure. Now everything, now the explosion is happening. So I'm doing that. I'm taking classes. But I still had some, free time, and I needed some more money and things. So my apartment complex had a cabana area where we can go for, like, they had, like, kids could go there. You had a swimming pool. They had basketball court. So I would go hang out. I'm 19 at this time. I'm hanging out over there. And one of them came up to me. And it's like, man, you're really good at working with kids. You want a job here? Like, when you got some free time, like $7 an hour, and we take it off your rent.
In the complex. Oh, that's good. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. I, prior to that, could not stand kids. because I'm an only child. Like, this episode can get interesting. Yeah. I had really no interest. But I was like, money off my rent. Mm. I was still with my parents. And I was like, oh, they would like that.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I ended up, running programs there and things. And one of the ladies that worked there was like, hey, the school district here is looking for subs. I know you're not I'm still in school.
Okay.
But they're looking for subs for assistants, teacher assistants. And I was like, well, that's better money than what I was doing at Office Depot. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And so that's how I got into the school system.
Okay, so it was your technology that led you to help the kids. It was your love of technology and knowledge, and then that led to you getting into the school system.
Yeah, got into the school system. Now at this point, I'm confused. I'm like, I like tech, but I'm starting to like this thing that I said I wouldn't like.
Uh huh.
And then family on the in Chicago, like I had a not a tragedy, but like I had to end up working my way back to Chicago, so my grandmother got really sick. So I wasn't able to finish the schooling to be like a registered teacher. But mm-hmm. when I got back to Chicago, I did get hired at a school, and I started as an assistant. But because I don't want to be bragging, but I was so good at it.
Hey, if you're good, you're good, right? It's not bragging if it's true.
they gave me control of a classroom, and we just had a. It was a certified teacher in there because legally you have to have a certified teacher. But it was like an older teacher who – I guess I could say now it's been 20-some years. Yeah, she just wasn't – she wasn't interested in being a teacher anymore. She was just there.
She was happy to let you run the class.
So I ran the class. So those kids, in their opinion, are my kids.
Sure.
You know, so classroom of 40 kids, and I'm running that. And I did that for about a year. Yeah, about 2 years. Then I noticed, and this is where the technology parts come in, because I'm still a tech guy. I'm like, man, our school doesn't have a website, but I'm noticing other schools on, now we're on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. On the north side had websites and had technology and things. And, I'm in an urban area. It's an all black school on the south side of Chicago. And I was like, man, we don't have computers in the classroom. So I remember bringing an E machine or something? I remember bringing my desktop from home into my classroom so the kids will have a computer so they will know what one is like. You know, and then I got a laptop for myself to start putting grades in. And that was even a novelty.
Were you missing working at the Office Depot, Best Buy?
Yes, but I felt there was a bigger calling here.
Yeah, okay.
You could justify
like, but I can take what I know from those and help people. Yeah.
I felt like I was actually helping on the ground. I was helping, you know, families. I was helping kids and you know, like, you know, yes, with education, obviously, but me having that strength of technology, I thought was going to be very important. So yeah, I was the first teacher to have a computer in my classroom. And, you know, so getting the kids to learn that. And eventually, I volunteered to do the school's website. I'm like, we need a website. I just told my principal, I was like, we need a website. He's like, cool, yeah, we have, here's, you know, the service, but, you know, here's the information you need. Go at it. Have fun. And so I made the school's website. And then from there, he's like, well, since you made this website, we have this, you know, we need a school newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And then I became in charge of the school newsletter.
Like an email newsletter or a print newsletter?
It was print newsletter.
Okay, so using the computer to print it up and all
so
of that.
So I learned Microsoft Publisher and, you know, all of that. So I started, you know, getting all these skills. And then there came a point where I was talking to the principal. We had to talk for about 4 hours. And I was like, look, this is what I feel like the school needs. We don't have any laptops. We don't have any – these kids – I said, our kids are already behind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I said, look what's happening on the north side. Look what's happening on all these other schools. They're so far ahead. Our kids deserve this stuff, too. So he's like, well, I need a tech coordinator to coordinate this. Do you want to do that? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm not, you know, certified to be, you know, to run a classroom forever anyway.
Yeah.
But you could vary what your
two strengths are. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll become the, you know, tech coordinator, paid more. But even more importantly, it gave me exactly what I needed at the time. I was in charge of tech at the school of a few hundred kids, and I had my own office. And so I started working with the teachers and staff development on things they need to know. Because at this time, this is 2003, Tom, and you remember the teachers' green grade book, you know, the old like written. They were very very used to that, and we were moving towards electronic, and the teachers were fighting it at every angle. The kids were never the issue. It was always the adults,
yeah,
especially some of the older ones who just weren't ready. So my job was to break it down, make it simple for them. And where did I get that experience for working with people who don't know what they want or know what they need, but they know they have to use it? Best Buy and Office Depot. The connection was there. So I was in charge of teaching the teachers, making it easy for them, breaking it down so they can feel comfortable with it. If they feel comfortable, they can now teach their kids and feel comfortable. And so from there, we got laptop carts for each floor. I was in charge of that. And, you know, like I said, we continued doing the website. And we even upgraded our Wi-Fi. Like, dude, we were on 802.11.b for the longest. Like that's how much they didn't care about our school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got it to the faster G wireless and the comparable with everyone else. And now the kids are happy to be in school because they didn't have computers at home. They didn't have Wi-Fi at home, but now they had their fingertips to the world and school. So now they want to be there even more. So attendance skyrocketed and, you know, the good things started happening.
So again, we're at a point where if you don't know Lamar's story, you might think, oh, okay, so he didn't become CEO of Best Buy. I guess he becomes head of computers in Chicago, right? But that's not where your story goes. You are who you are now, a content creator. You're known for doing YouTube. You do TikTok. You do shorts. Now connect these dots, right? Like, we've connected the Best Buy to the education. How did you go from what sounds like you're doing good? You've got a, not a sinecure or anything, but you've got a stable position. How did you go from that to where you are now?
Early 2006, my principal, he's a younger principal. He's older than me, but, you know, so I'm 28 at this time. And he comes up to me, he brings me to his office and literally sits me down and says, with his most serious face ever, you need to leave.
Oh.
And I was like, excuse me? Uh-huh. I was like, are you firing me? He said, no, but you need to leave. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, he started explaining. He's like, look, man, he said, I've been bragging about our school when we go to other principal meetings. And I'm realizing all these schools want someone like you and they don't have anybody like you. Because I remember a couple of schools asked me to come out to like do something in their school, which I'm not technically supposed to do because I'm not employed by them. But, as a favor, I would go out to a couple of schools here and there and help them out. But once he heard about that and once he got feedback from his principal meetings, he's like, you need to leave. He's like, this is not big enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had anybody tell me that before. That was like, I was like, wow.
Yeah, not a you need to leave, I don't like you, not you need to leave, you're screwing up. It's not you need to leave, you're too good for this.
Yeah, he's like you could do better on a larger scale. They actually told me this in 2005. So I started planning. I formed a business, on the side, and I got everything ready. So, and he told me, he's like, hey, whenever you leave and you're officially, not an employee, he said, I can have you come in as a consultant to the principals and you sell your services. You know, how are you going to do it?
So you'll still be working with them, just on your own, basically.
So I created a I created a consulting company, and so I left in April 2006 before the school year ended, so I can get the principals before their budgets are. Had the meeting, it was great. I convinced what at the time 15 principals that they needed websites. 15 out of the 25 I talked to, they needed websites and staff development services for their teachers. So I was my first year of my business. I left the school, but I was busy, and my school hired me as well to continue there. So that happened. Then we accelerated a little bit. I ended up being, now that I'm working with 20 plus schools, the district gets wind of me. And so there's a federal grant for technology and education. I get attached to that. Then we go to about 2000. And this is where it gets fun. We go to 2008, and one of the district heads says to me, "Hey, do you know anything about video? Because we part of this federal grant, we need someone to. No one knows video cameras. We need someone to take record, video for these different lessons, so we can submit it to the, for the federal grant." And I was like, "I don't know video, but I will learn."
Uh huh.
Bought a camera. And then during the 2008 Christmas holiday, this was around the holiday, I opened up a YouTube channel. I was like, well, let me just test some things. I was not thinking about an audience.
It was principal's fault. That's who did it, yeah. Right there.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to upload a couple skits or a couple things. I'm testing this camera. I'm not even thinking about myself being a creator.
Yeah.
Then I start seeing comments. I'm like, what? People found these?
What was the first video you did? Was it just...
Oh, this... It was a skit. I'll never forget. I made a skit about unboxing... What's it? Tony Little's little rolling machine. Uh-huh. I forgot what that's called. Yeah. So I
you did an unboxing. That was your first video?
My first video. Wow. I didn't even think about that until now. Yeah. My first video was an unboxing slash skit of me building this machine And it was funny because I was eating a pizza during it. And I'm supposed to be building a machine to work out. So that was,
is that still up?
No, it's not. That's that's too bad. My first 13 videos got lost.
Yeah.
So I don't have them anymore. But I remember.
Was it an account change thing, or they just got, you just took them down, or?
I had temporarily closed the account for a reason, but I was told that if I opened it back up, they'll still be there.
And they weren't.
And they weren't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But then that was for a technical reason later down the line. Sure. Yeah. But so I'm now, it's 2009, and I go back to the district and say, like, hey, I bought this Sony camera. I know how to use it now. I didn't tell them I was on YouTube because they were very anti-YouTube. School districts,
especially in those early days, the way people are about TikTok now, they were about YouTube back then.
Yeah, they blocked it, whatever. So I just said I know it. So they gave me an additional funding. So it's funny, I was getting paid to do video, you know, in 2009 when YouTube wasn't even paying me. It wasn't getting paid through them. I was getting paid through the district, and I was training myself even more by being on YouTube. It was the weirdest thing. And so that's what kind of started the content thing.
So your YouTube content started as, I just need to learn how it works, but was appealing at the right moment at the right time to people who wanted things on YouTube. That's what a coincidence.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yeah. And I wasn't even thinking about being, like I said, a creator per se myself. I was just like, okay, you know, how does editing work? Then I started learning about vlogs. Okay, you know, if we have somebody who wants to do this, I could show them how to do this on the school district. And I feel like I was one of the people to help break them down about YouTube not being so dangerous, because they eventually saw my account and it's like, okay, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And so here's the transition. So around 2011, as you know, with school districts, administrations change.
Sure.
You know, different CEO, different mayor came in.
Superintendent, mayor, all that stuff.
Yeah. So we had a set of superintendent, we had a CEO. So different. I saw the writing on the wall. I saw our grant was ending, number one. We'd done it for 5 years. So I saw that ending. I saw the administration change. And I was like, yeah, this is coming to an end. It's not a bad thing. I still have my other clients that I was doing websites and things for. But I just knew it was ending, and I was 2 years into this YouTube thing, and I got kind of good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this possible? This could be I saw other people like making it a business. I was like, can I make this? I'm making okay money on it at this point. And I was like, can I make this a business? And so 2012, dude, I made the leap of faith, and I was like, you know, I ended my business because it was winding down anyway. And I moved to Los Angeles, and you know, it wasn't, you know, people usually think of moving to Los Angeles as you're moving for becoming an actor. You need to be close to this. I wasn't moving for those reasons. I was moving to start fresh somewhere. And Los Angeles was where most of my internet friends were. And most of my internet friends were in Seattle. I probably would have moved back there.
Sure.
And it was just, you know, but it just so happens that I moved, you know, moved here, got with the YouTube network, and, you know, and then got from there on. Here I am, still 11 years later, still here making content. And it's a weird transition, but you can only see it in hindsight, right? That all the connections, you can't see you can't see the connections at the time. But I look back from, you know, the first retail job into the education, and how the way I do my videos now, I'm education is always in the front of my mind, but I know I can't teach at people. So I use entertainment, like I did in the classroom, as a way to teach them or to educate them about different products or whatever. And so it's all connected. It's funny. I wanted to be a journalist. I didn't get to be, but – or did I?
Or did you? Yeah.
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 Still got to you know.
Not a journalist with a capital J, you know, but
– yeah.
But media, but communication.
I got into communications and media.
Yeah.
There was a time I wanted to be a lawyer. Now that was I'm stretching that one a little bit, but because I got into all these contracts and things and working with brands, I learned, you know, I had to read contracts before I got representation. Yeah. So I learned, I taught myself that. So it's a little bit of everything I kind of wanted to do, except the firefighter thing when you're five. I wasn't able to.
Yeah.
Recreate
I had
that.
Things like being a ranger and an astronaut. Those are different. Yeah, there's a line at some point where the kid ones go away.
Well, you got to write about space.
There you go.
Yourself,
right?
Yeah. So you got to fulfill that.
There is a theme to all of the stories you told. Yes. And I picked up on three things that, even though it feels like you had so many different career paths and career changes, mm-hmm. you always enjoyed communicating with people. And that really stuck out to me when you talked about how you didn't really like kids, but when you found out you could communicate with them and be effective, you're like, yeah, okay, right, let's do that. You didn't emphasize this as much, but I know you well enough to know you also like to entertain. You like to be funny and have fun and make people laugh and have people receive your communication with a smile, right? Versus, you're not the serious lecture type. You're like, let's have fun. So you like to have fun with your content. And you like keeping up on the new, which is why you were into Best Buy. And instead of just sticking with the computer lab, because it wasn't the internals of the computer. It was like, what can it do next? What's the new one going to be? How does it work? I want to see all that stuff. And it feels to me, and you tell me if this tracks with you, that communicating in a fun way about what's new kind of is your career.
It is. Hindsight, right? You don't see it at the time, but to work in retail, to work in sales and marketing, period, I felt I had to be, I knew my stuff, but you also have to, when you have a 60-year-old grandma come in, and I'm not saying it's in an offensive way at all. This has happened where they just don't know. This is 94, 95. They don't know what they want, but they want to talk to their kid who's in the military mm-hmm. or their grandson. They want to talk to their grandkids. How do I break this down? What the computer is and why they can benefit from it. And also, have them, because they're coming in stressed. They know they need this. They see these prices. They're nervous. How do I break them down in a way? How do I, am I friendly, entertaining? So they don't see me as the enemy. That's just sales 101. But I actually cared. Some use those tactics and they don't care. It's just to get the sale, right?
Sure.
But that could not happen at the school. Kids see right through you if you were phony. So, but the same tactics. I had kids who did not want to be there. I mean, we're talking about kids who before the prior years had, attendance issues, poor grades. I had fourth graders who were reading at a kindergarten first grade level because of, poor quality of education the year before. I get them, and I'm really trying not to brag, and I'm trying to make the point, but I get them, and I'm utilizing this entertaining, get education thing, and by end of the year, they're reading at fifth and sixth grade levels, and mm-hmm. I had jumped them up because, and I don't take, I won't take full credit for that. I mean, that was at least them, but my thing was applying what I learned from retail to how to work with people to the school, and then I had to apply that to convince principals to hire me and then convince these teachers who don't want to sit there at a staff development being told that they need to learn something. So I had to learn how to communicate really well in that sense too.
Well, let's bring it to the present then come full circle. What was a challenge in the beginning was you're too young and don't have a job. Now it's the opposite challenge. You took this journey to get to content creation and you show up as someone who is not the young 20 something TikToker, right?
I'm 31 at the time.
Yeah. You're not slotting in against these younger folks as someone who's of age with them. What advantages and disadvantages do you think you had because of who you were when you arrived in that space?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'd say advantages would be life experience, obviously. Life experience with tech and retail, education, even working with corporate people. Also, don't think storytelling based on those experiences, mm-hmm. being able to, you know, like there's a difference between the experience that I had and that a 19-year-old starting their tech YouTube has. And I'm not taking anything against away from them, but there's just different life experiences.
Yeah. You've got more life behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and yeah. And then I'll just say, you just kind of in tune with that marketing skills. I just had the marketing skills on how to be entertaining yet trustworthy, because that's the, you know, you could just be entertaining and be slapstick or whatever, and people still don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you entertain but still bring it home? You know, that this is a beneficial thing for them. And so I think those are my advantages being starting in this thing as 31, where, again, not all of them, but a good chunk of people are like 14 sitting in their bedroom.
Yeah.
Vlogging as well. And you know, obviously, you know, shooting past me or whatever, because they're the demographic at the time for that kind of content.
And when you're that age, you have more energy, you have more enthusiasm, you have more creativity than you do as you get older. So you have to know yourself, which you do, to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to match them on energy. I'm not 14 anymore, I can use my experience.
Yeah. And then some of the disadvantages, obviously the comments, I'm too old to be here.
Yeah.
Why are you here, old man? You know, those are more funny than anything, because obviously older people started getting on YouTube and things, you know. But I think some other disadvantages that I have that the young people have as an advantage. Some of the younger people are able to move quicker and iterate quicker.
Sure.
They don't come with the baggage that I come with the self-doubt. But I know this didn't work because I remember 5 years ago that this didn't, you know, they just make the content. You know, and I admire that, and I know I have baggage to get rid of to move forward. And also, I think one more disadvantage was, you know, there's sometimes, not always, sometimes a feeling of not belonging. I think that was early on, where I was just like, am I supposed to be doing this? This feel, you know, am I slotting in right? Is this weird? You know, and I'm gonna be honest, seeing you early. I remember I listened to you in my car prior to that, and you know, for your previous radio shows, but to see you online and see other peers online doing obviously better shows than what I was doing, but in a tech sense, but that gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it's good to have old people doing it.
I didn't say that, but that is exactly what I was thinking.
I embrace it. You know, well, it's thank you. That's very kind words of you to say. But even though it's about me, I will still agree that it is good to see other people doing what you want to do in the way you want to do it, right? It's We talk a lot in society right now about seeing people who look like you, and that is incredibly important, but it's also seeing people who think like you and act like you and have experiences like you as well, in addition to that. So that's an interesting addition to that conversation, I think.
Yeah, you know, and you know, seeing young people who initially was just starting out, like Marquez, MKBHD, and you know, and we attached right, you know, when I was bigger than him, and seeing him grow and explode was amazing for me. I was like, go, you know. Again, someone looks like me. I remember, you know, looking up to people like Soldier Knows Best, you know, just see. So yeah, I did experience that, wow, there's someone who looks like me who's doing this and doing it well, but also people who think like me and have the life experience or similar life experience to me was also very important. So
as well as people who make you feel young, like me.
You do make me feel young by about 6 years or so.
Well, the first time we had you on, you said you were nervous. Were you still nervous? I hope you weren't nervous.
I was not nervous at all this time.
Because, okay, good. Good.
Yeah. That one was me telling that was a more difficult story to tell, because that's more of a wow, you left this to do this?
You left a successful thing. What? Yeah. And if you haven't listened to that episode, it does kind of complete. This is almost the prequel to that episode in a way.
This is the prequel.
So you might want to go check that out. That word was influencer, and as we mentioned earlier, that came out in July 2022. Well, you've already told us some of the this or that, but you want to play again? I got some new questions mixed in this time. Maybe you've changed your answers on some of them.
Let's do it.
All right,
can't wait.
I'm going to start off with, if for folks who are new to the show, I should say this or that. The game is I will give Lamar two options. I'll give all our guests two options, the word game. And then just tell me which of the two options they would pick and why. The first this or that is Mario or Princess Peach?
Mario.
I was trying to come up with something that could take away from Mario, but there isn't. There isn't. Could anything take away from Mario for
you? No, nothing could take away from Mario.
Yeah.
He's the OG.
I thought about Link. I don't know what I thought about. Yeah.
It still will come back to Mario for me. I'm very much into the OG guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a name like Kathy Ireland or something, but no.
How old are we, Tom? All right.
I was like, what's a more modern reference, Tom? Dell or Gateway?
Dell, because I have more experience with them in the schools. Uh-huh. That's what I bought. I bought hundreds of Dells. Never owned a Gateway, never ever touched one, honestly.
I think I owned one Gateway once briefly, but I've had multiple Dells, so I'm kind of in the same boat there.
Yeah.
The classic Fast or Slow Zombies.
Yeah, so I'm still going to stay with the slow ones.
You want to get away?
Yeah. I want to be able to get away. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't need to be fast.
Yeah.
I don't know who would choose the fast. I'm really curious about the guests who choose fast.
I'm going to ditch the crepes question and go just with a more broad, salty or sweet.
As I've gotten older, I'm moving more towards the salty slide. I know you'd be like, Lamar, your blood pressure.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, is bad for your blood pressure.
But the sugar is worse for your blood pressure, I think.
Because it has more widespread. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can keep the salty treats at a blood pressure safe level, right?
Yeah. But sweet is just, you're just going to go crazy with sweet.
Yeah. All right. This one I want to make sure I say music wise. I'm not talking about personality, personal life. Music wise, Michael or Janet?
Michael.
Yeah,
Michael. I love Janet, but that's not a competition to me.
Personality? No, I'm not even.
Yeah, exactly.
Dogs or cats?
Still a cat guy.
Still a cat guy. All right.
Yeah.
Sega or 3DO?
I don't even know what a 3DO is.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. No, that's
like
the answer,
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Yeah.
But you have no experience. See, the people who do know 3DO, they're like, oh, 3DO. But then if you never lived in the 3DO world, then you're Sonic all day long. Mm-hmm. Hot or cold?
In what context? Or just in general? Food or
would you rather be? Let's make it. Would you rather be hot or would you rather be cold? I mean, obviously, you'd rather be right in between. But if it's going
to
lean
one
way, yeah,
I'll go with the hot. Coming from Chicago, I can't do that anymore. Just that freezing cold.
That freezing cold, man. I'm right there with you. Yeah,
yeah.
I know we're from other opposite ends of the state of Illinois, but that is one that I think works statewide. And then finally, Hello Kitty or Scottie Pippen?
I knew you. Oh my God.
Funko Pops.
Okay. Very good reference. I want to go with Scottie Pippen on this one.
Yeah,
but Hello Kitty is right there.
I mean, how is your Hello Kitty Funko Pop after taking a dive across the room in your latest video?
It's still intact and it's going to be given to you later today. It's already in the bag, ready to go.
That's a promise and a threat. I have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Lamar, this was fantastic. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for coming back again, like being a repeat guest. I can't tell you how much it means to me.
No, it's such an honor. I really love this series that you do. I remember when you were workshopping this. and just a seat of, you know, listen to all the different interviews. You know, Rob being one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it was a good one.
With him. But yeah, all of them just have such a different perspective of life. And so keep this series going. There's so many words out there and so many people with their perspectives on how to talk about that word.
Yeah. No, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Just know that we do want to have repeat guests on, but that doesn't mean we've run out of ideas or anything. It's more like the people like Lamar, where we have more to talk about. So we're going to do that and continue to bring new people on as well. Yeah. Thanks to our producer, Anthony Lemos. Thank you for listening to the show, telling your friends about it. You can get an ad-free version of this show with Acast Plus. Click on access exclusive content at awordpodcast.com. That's awordpodcast.com. And we'll have a word with you next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.